want to read two very short passages in John's Gospel. And the first one you'll find, they're both very well known, the first one you'll find in John chapter 4. John chapter 4 and verse 28. The woman then left her water pot and went away into the city and says to the men, "Come see a man who told me all things I had ever done. Is not he the Christ?" They went out of the city and came to him. And then in John 20 and verse 17, Jesus says to her, "Touch me not, for I have not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren and say to them, I ascend to my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God." Mary of Magdala comes bringing word to the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had said these things to her. I've read you these two messages tonight. A message from a forgiven sinner whose heart was full of Christ. That's the first one. And a message from Christ himself to a forgiven sinner when he was first out of death. I think they're two of the greatest messages of the Bible. And in a way they encompass the whole of the gospel. A message from this woman, a woman who had a past. You know, you and I have got a past, every one of us. We've got a past that's marked by sin. Sin ruins things in our lives, you know. I don't want you to get too hung up with what this woman actually, what her life was like. Because, actually, her life was only like many people's lives. Things that come into our lives, you know, that are sins caused by envy, by lust, by self-importance, by greed, by deception. I know there are all those sorts of things that entered into the life of this woman. But you know, all those sorts of things have entered into my life too. And no doubt into yours. We're sinners. And try as we might, we can do nothing about it for ourselves. There was a man I heard about. He was brought up in South London. He was brought up in a Christian household. And he didn't like the restrictions of it. And so he left home. And he thought at first he was going to be great when he left home. But he soon got into a world of sin and miserableness, drinking, drugs, all kinds of things. And after he'd nearly killed himself crossing a railway line while he was drunk, he decided that he'd really got to change. And he thought, if he went somewhere else, if he went far away to another country, he'd be able to change. And so he went to Australia. And as he recorded it himself, of course he took all his sinful baggage with him. Because you see, the problem about us being sinners is that there's something wrong inside. And he took all his sinful baggage with him, and he soon found himself caught up with exactly the same things as he'd been caught up when he lived in Lewisham. And he got a job with a man who was a Christian. One day this Christian spoke to him. And what he said, the Spirit of God used to convict him that he was a sinner. And he felt that conviction that things were wrong in his life and he could do nothing about them for himself. And he went home that day and he said he prayed sincerely for the first time. He prayed about other things, you know. He prayed that he might not get caught. He prayed that that he might, that his horse might win, and things like that. But he said he'd never prayed sincerely. And what he did was he prayed that night. He said, "Oh God, open my eyes, open my ears, open my heart." Got up in the morning and he went to work. He was a jobbing builder. He was working for a lady in Melbourne. And he started to do whatever needed to be done. And about the middle of the morning, she came out to him with some coffee. And she started to drink it together with him. And she said to him, "Do you know Jesus?" And he said, "Oh yes, I know the story. I know the story." And she, without any further ado, went on to tell him about her story. And her story almost mirrored his. She'd been brought up in France, as it happened, in a Christian house. And she'd rebelled against the restrictions, and she'd left home, and she'd got into all kinds of sin, and she decided that what she needed was a new start, and so she went to Australia, and she found herself caught up in Australia in exactly the same way as she'd been caught up in France. And she told this man these things, and there he saw a sort of mirror image, if you like, of his life. And he said, "She didn't know that I'd prayed to God that morning again, open my eyes, open my ears, open my heart." And then she told him how she'd come to Christ. She'd ended up in hospital, and while she was in there, someone had spoken to her about Jesus. And she told him simply how she'd come to trust in the Lord Jesus as her own Saviour. And she'd found that she could be forgiven. She had no power any more than he had, any more than you and I have, to deal with sin for ourselves. And that young man, when he heard that, he said, "She didn't know what I'd prayed that morning, but I realized that there was a God through what had happened. How her life had just mirrored his, and how she'd witnessed to him that day." And he said, "I went out to my lorry, and the tears were in my eyes." It was a few weeks before he really came to know Jesus, but he did. But you see, there's no other way whereby your sins and mine can be met. No other way that we can deal with the wrong that's within. But Jesus can deal with it perfectly. And that's what this woman, that you get her story in John 4, found out about. And she went with this wonderful message: "Come see a man who told me everything I ever had done." And you think, why did she want to know it? Surely there were secret things that she didn't want anybody to know about. Perhaps the secrets in your life. Perhaps there are things that you hope nobody will ever find out about. Like the little boy who he liked to irritate his young sister. And his little sister had a doll that she was very, very, very keen on. Took it everywhere with her. And it wasn't a traditional kind of doll. It was apparently a rag doll that had been stuffed with corn. But she liked to carry this thing around with her. And so one day her brother, knowing that it would upset her a good deal, took it and stole it. And he knew what he was going to do. He was going to bury it in a bit of waste ground behind the garden shed. When, of course, his parents asked him whether he knew anything about this doll that had disappeared, he said, "Oh no, oh no, no, hadn't seen it at all." It remained like that. And months passed, and the spring came, and obviously some water got on that bit of waste ground, and the wheat that had been in the corn that had been in the stuffing, it began to grow. And of course it came up in the shape of a doll, didn't it? Came up in the shape of a body. And he was found out. Secret sins, secret things that perhaps you don't want anybody to know about, but God knows about them. Jesus knows about them. He knew about this woman. And that's the wonderful thing about this story. He knew everything she'd done, and he was waiting at the well just for her. You know, if there's anybody in this room tonight who doesn't know Jesus as their own Saviour, I tell you this, that he's more interested in you than he is in anybody else. The Lord Jesus had come to this well and was waiting at it just for this woman. And perhaps tonight, he's waiting just for you. Just for you to turn to him, because he knows the need you're in. He knew what her life was like. He knew what she'd done. He knew the miserable things, one after another, that had entered into her life. He knew too what the end of a life is as away from God. It can only bring us under divine judgment. But the Lord Jesus knew all that. I think part of this wonderful message that she had, and why it was so great in her mind at this time when she went to the men of the city, was that here was somebody who knew everything about her. And he proved it to her. He says, "Go call thy husband." And when she says, "I haven't got a husband," he says, "Oh no, you've spoken rightly. You've had five husbands and you're living with somebody else." And it brought home to her that here was somebody who knew everything about her. But he didn't push her aside. He didn't tell her to go away. He didn't say, "I'm not going to have anything to do with you because of your past." No. And he won't say that to you. He won't say that to anybody. He came to seek and to save the lost. He came to meet the need of the sinner. He came to meet it at all cost to himself. But this was the very kind of person that he came to save. And he was waiting there just for her. And whatever your past has been, whatever's entered into our lives, the Lord Jesus knows everything about it. But he's not condemning you. He's not condemning you. He's offering you forgiveness. She found someone who not only knew everything she'd done, but he'd got the answer to it. And more than that, he knew all about her, but he loved her. And you know, Jesus loves you. If there's only one thing you get out of this meeting tonight, just get hold of the fact that Jesus loves you. He loves you. He loves you despite what we are. He loves us. He loves us enough to come and give himself at Calvary's cross. Paul says, and he never ever got over the wonder of it, I don't think. He says he was the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Paul, the persecutor of Christians. Paul, the person who said he did much against the name of Jesus. But he realized that Jesus loved him. This woman realized that there was somebody who loved her, and who could meet every need that she'd ever had. And she goes with this terrific message. "Come see a man who told me all things I'd ever done." What a message it was, you know. She wanted everybody she knew to come to Christ. Will you come tonight? Will you come just as you are? Just in your need as a sinner? Just as someone who can do nothing for themselves to meet their need as sinners, as a sinner. And come to the one who can meet everything. He could meet everything for her. He's got power on earth to forgive sins. He says that. He says that to some persons. It's recorded elsewhere in one of the Gospels. It says, he said to them, that ye may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive. Why'd he got that power? He got it because he was on the way to Calvary. He was he was on his way to suffer the just for the unjust, so that he might bring us to God. Never any doubt of what he came to do. You know, sometimes we set out in life with certain things, that objectives and things we want to do and things that we hope will happen and so on. And we get pushed off that course one way or another. We find things are more difficult. We find things don't work out. Jesus wasn't put off by any kind of difficulty or by any kind of pressure. He came so that he might offer his life as that perfect sacrifice, so that there might be a way of forgiveness for you and me, so that God's love might be known, so that we might be able, as coming to him, to say, just like this woman does, come see a man who told me everything I ever did. And he was on his way to Calvary's cross. You know, forgiveness was available for this woman. Forgiveness was available for Saul of Tarsus. Forgiveness is available for you and me. But it was available. It's available because the Lord Jesus bore the judgment that is due to us. It wasn't something that was costless. It wasn't something that could be just done by an act of power or a word or anything like that. When you go out of this room tonight, just have a look at the stars. You can probably see them. Seems pretty clear. You can probably see a whole lot of stars. And they were put there, you know, just by a word. God spoke, and it was done. He created the things in this world by a word. He upholds all things by the word of his power. Just a word. Our forgiveness could not be wrought by a word, because God had to meet the need of the sinner absolutely righteously. God hates sin. He can't have it in his presence. He can't just say, well, we'll sweep these things under the carpet. We'll forget about the wrong things you've done. Sometimes, you know, people act like that, don't they? People, sometimes you get an amnesty declared and people are released from prison. Nobody doubts the fact that they're guilty, but for certain political reasons or certain reasons of one kind and another, perhaps the prison's just too crowded. People are just let go. God couldn't work like that. He's holy. He's righteous. When it came to the plan of salvation, the need of the sinner had to be met righteously. The only person who could do it was our Lord Jesus Christ. And he came. He who was holy and sinless and separated from sinners. And he went to Calvary's cross. And he went there. And he suffered, as I said, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. He who was absolutely holy, him who knew not sin, the scripture says, was made sin for us. The Lord Jesus was on his way to that awful appointment. It was fixed in time. His hour, it says several times, had not yet come. And there was a time when it did come. And they came to arrest him in the garden. And the Lord Jesus said to those persons who arrested him, this is your hour and the power of darkness. The time had come. And there was that mockery of a trial and the dreadful kind of ill treatment that came upon the Lord. Those weren't the worst of his sufferings. If you want to get an idea of what the Lord suffered at man's hand, you read the account of the crucifixion in Mark's Gospel. It's particularly abrupt and particularly bleak. It gives you just a feel for what came upon the Lord Jesus as Satan exercised his utmost authority in relation to trying to turn the Lord aside. You see, the Lord could have called to the Father for 12 legions of angels. He could have walked away and nobody could have touched him. He could have smitten the world with judgment. But he loved you and me too much, you know, to do that. He came to be the Saviour. He came to bear our sins. And the awfulness of what he suffered at man's hand didn't turn him aside. The failures of the disciples didn't turn him aside. He went on in absolute devotion to the Father's will. And there at Calvary's cross, during those 3 hours of darkness, in the secret of that darkness, the Lord Jesus bore the awfulness of what it was to be made sin, and to set aside in before God the whole principle of sin, and to bear the sins of everyone who trusts in him. Tonight you can trust in him with absolute assurance. Tonight, if you come to him and tell him that you're a sinner and you want him to be your saviour, he perfectly righteously and properly will cleanse you completely and meet every sin, both in the past and any sins you may commit in the future. He can deal completely. Come see a man who told me all things I ever did. Is not this the Christ? She knew someone who met every need in her life. I think of this woman, you know, going to these men of the city, and she wasn't dressed any differently. She didn't look any different, but there was a light in her eyes, and there was a change in her voice, and there was a change in her heart. She had Christ in her heart. She knew forgiveness because she knew Jesus. She knew love because she knew Jesus. You say, hadn't she ever known love with those 5 husbands? Well, not love like she knew in Jesus. You know, the love that Jesus has for his own is different from every other kind of love whatsoever. A great servant of God in the 19th century made the interesting observation that the Spirit of God, when he inspired the scriptures, didn't invent words like love and faithfulness and righteousness and so on. He took up words that were already in the language, but he changed their meaning. The love of Christ is something absolutely different. It's the love of God made known in a man. Love is of God, John tells us. Love, different from human love, different from everything like that. We can be thankful about human relationships and love and so forth, but the love that entered into this woman's heart and the love that enters into your heart as you trust in Christ is different. It's the love of God. Jesus came to make known that love. She knew the Father. The Lord had spoken to her about the Father, spoken about worship. And that woman had those things in her heart because she knew Christ. What a change there was, you know. What a change in her life. What a difference. And she goes to those men of the city, and there was that in her heart that was different. She had been changed, and I guess they could see it, and they came out of the city and went to Christ. She rejoiced, you know, in that those persons taking up that invitation. And, you know, it's a wonderful moment when you know forgiveness. It's a wonderful moment in heaven. There's joy in heaven over one repenting sinner. Wonderful moment in heaven when you come to know forgiveness through faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. And a wonderful moment for you. I'm reminded of a man who, his life was getting into a dreadful mess, one way or another. And one cold, windy night, he went into, he was sheltering in a shop doorway. And he bent down and picked up a bit of paper that had blown into the doorway because he wanted to roll a cigarette. He hadn't got any cigarette paper, so he thought he'd just pick up a bit of paper off the floor. And he picked it up, and it was a gospel tract. And he was out of work. His wife had left him. All kinds of things had happened in his life. And he read this tract, and through it, he came to know the Lord for himself. And he wrote to the address at the bottom of this tract, and he said, "My circumstances haven't changed, but everything else has." That's what this woman found, you know. She still had to work out some of the rather difficult things, no doubt, in her relationships. She still had some very real problems in her life. The circumstances hadn't changed, but everything else had. She had Christ in her heart. Billy Graham tells of going to Jamaica once in Treasure Beach and visiting a man who was a multimillionaire and who had a plane and a yacht and everything. And this man was deeply unhappy. And Billy Graham says he preached to him, but he didn't seem to be able to get through to him what he was as a sinner. And there, when he left, he said, "This man was as miserable as when I came." And he went down from this man's house to call on a Baptist minister, a man who was earning £4 a week. I don't know what that was like in terms of, you know, Jamaican prices, but it weren't very much anyway. Certainly not compared with the multimillionaire up the hill. And this man was dancing around and saying, "I'm the happiest man in Jamaica because I've got Christ in my heart." That's how this woman was. That's how you can be tonight if you'll only come to Christ. What a message it was she had. Come see a man. I want you to come to that man tonight. I want you to come to Christ. As I say, if you haven't trusted in Christ yet in your life, Jesus is more interested in you than he is in anybody else here in this room. Will you come to him? He's waiting just for you. He was waiting at the well for her. He's waiting for you tonight. Now, I read this other message. I read this other message because it's a message from the Lord Jesus himself. And it's a message, rather surprisingly at first sight anyway, to another woman, and another woman who'd been a very great sinner. It's a message to Mary Magdalene. And we're told in Luke somewhere, I think, that Mary was somebody out of whom the Lord had cast seven devils. You think of the awfulness of what her life had been. Think of the dreadfulness of what she had been delivered from. And this is the lady that the Lord chooses to give one of the greatest messages of all time. And what a message it is, isn't it? As I said, that woman in John 4 that we read about, she knew forgiveness, she knew love, she had some idea of the Father because she had the Lord Jesus in her heart. And Jesus here brings out through this wonderful message the completeness and fullness of the cleansing that comes to persons who trust in him. He says, not only will I forgive you your sins, not only will you know love, the love of God, but you'll know what it is to know God as your Father. You'll know what it is to be brought into a position of sonship. That's what John tells us right at the beginning of his gospel. To as many as received him, to them gave he the right to be children of God. Brought into the most wonderful relationship. You know, doesn't it prove to you the complete and utter cleansing that faith in Christ brings to the believer? Cleansing completely, so completely, that you can be brought right into the family of God, right into knowing God as your Father, right to know what it is, right into knowing what it is to be able to be in a place of sonship before God. Given the Holy Spirit, so that, who's the Spirit of sonship, so that we might be able to cry, Abba Father, might be able to truly respond to God as our Father, truly know what God's love is in that way. You know, the Lord Jesus prayed in John, round about John 16 or something, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. Can you think of any greater change from the degradation of sin, from the degradation of that woman of John 4, from the degradation of Mary Magdalene with seven evil spirits, into someone who knows what it is to be able to speak to God as Father? It's the great proof of the, well, it's, one thing is that it's the great proof of the complete and perfect cleansing that the Lord Jesus brings into the heart of everyone who trusts in him. Having made purification for sins, it says in Hebrews, he's sat down at the right hand of the greatness on high. No question about that purification. No question at all. He's there in heaven. God is delighted to receive him. Delighted to receive him as the one who has made purification for sins. And you and I can come into the good of that purification, and every blessing that flows from it. And we can come as trusting in the Lord Jesus for ourselves. It's a complete and perfect cleansing. My Father and your Father. What a privilege, you know, the Lord brings us into. How it would fill our hearts with worship and thanksgiving. It's what will fill all eternity, you know. The Lord Jesus came so that there might be a company secured, that he would be able to lead in the Father's praise, and who would feel perfectly at home there. Sinners would never be at home there. You know, I think it's Mr. Darby who said that if you let a group of persons from this city, and he was preaching in London, if you let a group of persons from this city into heaven, they'd be desperate to get out again. Because they wouldn't be able to stand in the holiness of God. But if you trust in Christ, you've got the most perfect standing ever. You stand as clothed in him, cleansed in him, taken into favour in the beloved. Greatest place of privilege possible. That's the believer's portion. It's the portion of everyone who trusts in Christ. Come see a man, said the first woman. Will you come to him tonight? Mary Magdalene came with this wonderful message, that she'd seen the Lord. The work of redemption accomplished. The Lord Jesus raised from the dead. Everything prepared, if you like, for our blessing. And tonight, I just want to commend these two messages to you. A message from a woman who found the Saviour. You can find him tonight. A message from the Lord Jesus Christ, who says, if you come to me, you'll come into the utmost blessing of knowing the Father's love and the Father's favour. What a blessing it is. May you trust in him for his name's sake. Amen.